The number one question we get from listeners is, do we have a written step-by-step roadmap to guide you on how to train your dog? We don't, but Standing Stone Supply does. They're the creators of the complete step-by-step dog training program that takes your dog from brand new puppy and gets it well on its way to that finished dog you've always dreamed of. They've mapped out the timelines to help guide you, the videos for every step of the way to show you, and even have the needed gear made into shopping lists to make it easy to supply you. Check out the course at standingstonesupply.com to gain unlimited access for all current as well as future lessons, and be sure to use the code GDIY to save 10% at sign up.
So I know what my dog's capable of, and whatever he goes out there and scores, it is what it is. And it, if I can go into the test with that mentality, because it's the truth, I think I'll be fine.
Do you have trouble physically making it through long hunts? Is your dog always giving you that angry look telling you to keep up? You train your dog, but now it's time to train yourself. Rocky Mountain Hunt Strong is the company for any hunter that is looking for an effective fitness routine to get healthier and be able to hunt longer and harder. This company has merged fitness and the passion of hunting to help people like you and me continue to do what we love. From the Rockies to the Smokies and every field or prairie in between, this company can get you ready to go longer, cover more ground, and recover quicker. Go to RockyMountainHuntStrong.com and see their program for yourself. Use the discount code GDIY to save 15% and get to work. Train harder, hunt stronger, and recover faster.
Welcome back to another week of GDIY, everybody. I'm actually joined with, it seems like, our weekly stand-in now, Joe. Adam's up in West Virginia visiting some family, doing a little work on the family farm and everything. I guess here lately it's just been a little different. We're always having to pull Joe in to fill in for somebody the past few weeks or something.
I must be doing something right, man, that I keep on getting the call up.
Yeah, so you actually came down to finally see the new place, and we went and grabbed some dinner, and we figured let's go ahead and knock out the intro while Adam's not here and he's busy slaving away on the deer farm.
Down at Adair Family Farms. Glad to see you guys finally got running water. You guys don't have to use the outhouse anymore or anything like that.
Yeah, we're still waiting on the internet, though. You know, we have everything we need, but the internet, especially coming at everybody with this podcast, that would be nice.
Man, who needs internet when you got stars like this tonight?
Yeah, dude, I'm perfectly fine with no internet, but it makes doing podcasts a little difficult sometimes, as you know, this week that's kind of one of the reasons, you know, we had a few guests lined up, but right now it's hard to really get everybody coordinated when I don't have a decent internet connection. So really we had to put the guests on hold for a week or two, and you came in on this episode, and me, you and Adam just kind of BS the entire time. So we don't really have one specific topic, but we kind of cover a whole lot of ground this week.
But I mean, it seems like a lot of the guests might be preparing for this thing that's coming up called hunting season.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a lot what this episode is talking about.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, it's like most of the people we talk to with these dogs, it's their priorities are in the right place.
Well, you got NAVDA test coming up.
NAVDA test, hunting season.
And hunting season.
Yeah, everybody's kind of busy right now, but yeah, me not having internet is kind of a bad time for all that, but hey, we'll get everybody lined back up and actually come out with some important topics again here soon.
Well, especially when McDonald's kicks you out of its dining room.
No kidding. What is up with that? They claimed it was the virus. I don't believe them. You know, just prejudice against podcasters.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to do my podcast.
Yeah, it's like all I'm doing is robbing you for your Wi-Fi. Like, Jesus, let me stay in here.
Do you know who I am?
yeah.
But I have a moderately successful dog training podcast.
Yeah, you really don't know who I am? Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, so nothing really too serious for everybody this week, but it was fun. We, you know, it was kind of enjoyable, just us three kind of shooting it and talking about the upcoming trips, and we talked about a whole bunch of different stuff between wild birds and pen raised birds and our trip and testing and nerves and all kinds of stuff. So we covered a lot of ground, but just not one in particular subject.
Yeah, it's one of those episodes where you just take a couple of bird hunters and dog owners and give them beer and let them talk a little bit.
So yeah, it's not too difficult for bird doggers to, you know, fill an hour of conversation exactly, typically. Yeah. So, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, Adam's not here, so I guess we can go ahead and skip the life advice. Everybody can just kind of wait till next week to figure out how to piece their lives together.
I mean, if that's cool with everyone, I know everyone's probably just waited with bated breath that, I mean, they're probably really disappointed they don't have a life advice this week. But
I think it's funny whenever we pull that out, it's Adam always thinks he's about to get away with not having a question, and then we fire one at him at the last second. He's like, oh man, I thought I was going to get away with not having to answer anything, but it's fun putting him on the spot.
Yeah, well, get ready, Adam, because he's probably going to listen to this when this comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to be ready for next week's life advice because it's going to be a doozy.
You got one fired up for him?
No, but I just know that one of the listeners is going to come in with something really, really strong.
Speaking of that, we do need some fresh life advice with Adam questions. So shoot them to me. Gundog.
That's a segue. I know I'm not very very seasoned at this whole talking on the microphone, but I can segue.
We do need some new ones. Make it hunting related. It's hunting season, so we need to start transitioning it into more hunting than training. Or you know, everybody loves the family questions, but let's start hitting Adam up with some hunting questions. And yeah, fire them away. Gundogityourself@gmail.com or shoot us a message on Facebook and Instagram under Gundogityourself. If you feel like throwing a few bucks our way, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/Gundogityourself. And is there anything else, Joe?
Oh, enjoy the episode.
Enjoy, guys. There's always something to debate or argue in the dog world, but there's this one thing that's not up for debate. All hunters and dog owners know you need the right gear, not just for yourself, but for your dogs as well. Conkey's Outdoors Hound and Hunting Supply is your number one source for all things hound-related. Conkey's is owned and operated by true houndsmen themselves. They've got you covered no matter the game you're chasing, from hog hunting, bear hunting, and even gator hunting. Bird dog guys don't feel left out either. They have whatever you need, whether it's training collars, tracking collars, boots, chaps, vests, coats, and more. No matter what you and your dog needs to have a successful hunt, check out ConkeysOutdoors.com and they'll get you on the right track. Purchases over $100 gets you free shipping, and enter GDIY5 to save 5%. And if you're a Patreon patron, you get to save even more money. So be sure to check out Conkey's Outdoors.
If you're currently in the market for a kennel, then be sure to check out Gunner Kennels. Gunner Kennels is the only kennel that's 5-star crash rated from the Center for Pet Safety. The double wall rotomolded construction ensures it holds up in all types of weather and conditions. Also, Gunner Kennels has a lifetime warranty. These kennels are built to last a lifetime, and Gunner stands behind that. Gunner also has all the accessories you could need, from fan kits to help keep them cool, performance and orthopedic pads to help keep them comfortable and ready to go after long travels, and even tie-down straps to help ensure there's no worries for the kennel moving or sliding around in your truck. So if you need man's best kennel for man's best friend, head on over to gundogityourself.com and click on the Gunner link. Be sure to purchase your kennel, accessories, and even gift cards for holidays and birthdays through our link, and it will go a long way in helping out the podcast.
All right, and we're back, guys. We're joined with Joe and Adam this week. We actually don't have any particular topic going this week. We had a couple great guests scheduled, and life gets in the way. We had to reschedule, and so we're just acting like normal bird dog guys and just shooting the breeze, man. Yeah, you trying to keep this clean really messes with my head.
Well, you guys got to get used to it. You both have kids on the way, and you're looking at me like, I can't say that word. And I'm like, this is easy. I've got kids. We're shooting the breeze.
Yeah, shooting the breeze and drinking apple juice.
Yeah.
It's always funny. I listen back to these, and there's like a gap in the middle of me saying something. I'm like, and I wanted to say a word there, and I couldn't.
Yep.
Oh, man. So, yeah, we just thought with... you know, we have to give the people what they want. We have an episode every week, and we had to hit it. So we figured let's just get on and have a fun little conversation about the hunting season and our big plans and leading into next spring, and maybe even get into future dream trips and stuff like that with our dogs.
And what the people really want is Joe Lamberson. the producer of GDIY.
Joe, I want to know, with Minnesota coming up here in a few weeks, are you actually planning on hunting this season, or are you just going to be bar hopping the whole time?
Probably just bar hopping.
So can I borrow your setter for the week then?
He's going to be with me probably at this point.
Yeah, right.
We'll see who's more out of shape, me or Jack.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He can't retrieve birds, but he can retrieve Joe a beer.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll go get one of the other dogs out of the truck, and we need to retrieve one if we can't find it.
Yeah, there you go.
He'll point dead, though, right?
Sure.
Sure.
Maybe. Yeah, no, he will.
Well, I know he points live birds like nobody's business. I mean, and that's what's crazy is, when was the last time you did any training with Jack? Other than, like, stop barking at the door.
Ooh, and the rabbit he got about
that
like a month
count.
Now.
That
oh, man.
Yeah,
probably what? Since last hunting season.
Wait, did he retrieve the rabbit?
No, he...
He just killed it?
He caught the rabbit.
Yeah.
And then I happened to cut him off on his escape route and got the rabbit out of his mouth.
Okay.
Sounds like a retrieve to me.
You want to dock it up? All right, you have a rabbit retrieving setter. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, make man. You feel better about yourself. But yeah, to Adam's point, man, you really are the guy that you exercise, Jack. Like, you go out to the trial grounds on a semi-regular basis, and you run them, so you keep them in shape. But man, during the off season, you don't get your dogs on birds, and it's just hunt season rolls around. It's like, all right, let's go hunt.
I mean, to be fair, last year I did, and I did nab the training days, but there was a little thing called the pandemic.
Yeah.
And then my wife being pregnant.
Yep.
And having to make money for that baby coming up. So there's a couple things that have taken priority.
All I hear are excuses, not priorities, excuses.
Yeah, I'll take it.
No, I'm hearing priorities. That makes a lot of sense.
But Jack is the type of dog to where you can kind of do that. It's like, okay, yeah, he doesn't retrieve, but he's a bird finding machine, and he points and he honors, and he really is a meat dog.
Yeah, we'll have fun when we go out.
You use them every year in Texas. You used them in Wisconsin last year. Are you taking them to South Dakota this year with you?
No.
No?
Why not?
I never take them to South Dakota.
He gets invited on this nice little private ground. Is it private?
Oh, yeah.
It's a private
ride
lodge.
School bus.
And all that.
All day.
So they have their own dogs.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
And every year we're like, man, Joe, you got to take Jack. And I'm not taking Jack. They already have their dogs there. So he's like a completely different type of bird dog guy than we are.
Yeah. And his dog is just as good at pointing. I mean, you know, out of all the work that we put in, I mean, of course, there's the.
Well, I would argue a better pointer than Lucy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, like, the inherent qualities of the dog are just amazing. I mean, that's why I ask, like, when's the last time you trained him? Not to bust your chops. See, bust your chops. See how I put that word in there?
And I,
not to bust your chops on how little you train the dog, but it's really a compliment to the dog because he's just got it, man. He points, he honors like nobody's business. I mean, that dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks great.
I mean, so backstory is my father-in-law has two pointers. And he works in new home sales in Texas. So he's got kind of weird days off. His days are off for Wednesdays and Thursdays. Well, during season, he's got two leases out in West Texas that he goes to every week. So this is his like one trip where he's like, I don't have to worry about feeding dogs. I don't have to worry about making sure they're all warm and everything like that. This is a trip where I get to see other dogs work. And this is kind of like his vacation.
Yeah.
So when that's why I could bring Jack. Maybe one day I will, once I've got a little bit more clout in that hunting group, you know. I'm still the youngest guy in that hunting group by about 15 years. So
yeah. You're still the new guy.
The first year you got your put on the wall of shame, didn't you?
No, because I missed.
Oh, okay. All right.
What'd you miss, a hen or something?
Yeah, well, the first year I ever went was like 5 or 6 years ago, and someone yelled hen, and I was like, oh man, I got to shoot. And luckily I missed.
His first hunting season. He doesn't know.
I don't know. I just thought they were called bird, and so I shot.
Yeah.
But yeah, that doesn't happen anymore. I'm known as Florida now, being from South Florida. I made a shot last year, and he goes, "I didn't know they shot like that in Florida." So I've come a long way in the 5 years I've been on that trip.
So I mean, in all seriousness, like, and don't give me the response like, "I just want to shoot a bunch of birds." What are your hopes for the Minnesota trip?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of bird contacts for my dog. That's really what I'm most excited about, is getting my dog on a pile of grouse, hopefully. Just grouse after grouse after grouse. And if some woodcock are mixed in there, that's great, too. I know that I'm going to miss him. I mean, good Lord, I can't even hit doves right now. But, yeah, I'm just excited to get out there. You know, we spend a lot of time putting on miles here for not a lot of bird contact. So just the thought of being able to get my dog in front of that many grouse is exciting, man. And, you know, I hope to connect with a couple.
Yeah, I mean, you know, pen-raised birds are great, but there is no replacement for wild birds. You can do so much with a bird dog with a fraction of actual wild bird contacts than what you can do with just pouring on pen-raised birds in the field. And that's my hope is, you know, last year I got to see it with Lucy. We finished up the UT test and everybody knows about that. You know, she got prize one on everything except for pointing. And we went out there to Wisconsin, and just from day one in Wisconsin, by me just I had to force myself not to shoot birds unless she pointed it. By yeah. me doing that consistently throughout the week, from day one to the last day at the cabin, I had a completely different dog within 1 week. And yep. and it was hard going out there, especially the first, second, third day, to where, you know, she would do her soft point, kind of bust in too close, and, you know, can do that on a pen raised bird. You can't do that on a wild bird. So when they were flushing out, man, your finger is on the trigger. You want to pull it? Nope. Bigger picture in mind, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And by the end of the week, she was pointing from a great distance, holding point on the birds to where I was flushing them. And it really just that, I mean, I knew what the message was about exactly what I'm saying, but, you know, it's completely different to hear something and then to see it actually happen within 1 week and enough wild bird contacts. My dog learned so much more in 1 week than what I felt like I could teach her in a full training season.
Yeah. And I think too often we've mentioned this before, but we measure success through, you know, our bag limit, how many birds we get in the bag. And then we qualify that as success because of social media and how
exactly. yeah.
connected we all are. Right. Virtually. So you can't measure, it's hard to measure success at the end of a hunt by exactly what you're saying. But in your mind, you're like, dude, that was a successful hunt. My dog learned a couple good lessons. And then the last bird that it found for the day, it locked up and pointed. Mm-hmm. And even if I missed it, huge success. And you're still yep. talking about it a year later. And now it's going to really pay off. I mean, you still killed birds over last year, but I feel like this year it's really going to pay off for not being tempted to like, well, I've got to show the world that I was successful and have a picture of a grouse in my hand at the end of the day.
Sorry, listeners. I'm not sacrificing my dog's training just to prove a point to you and show exactly. you a picture. You know, there are plenty of people out there that have that just, oh man, I feel just the pressure. I got to shoot something just to put it on Facebook or Instagram. And you know, I'm doing it for the dog. I'm not doing it for the gram. I don't know about Joe over there. He's just doing it for the bar. But order yeah. me another
the,
beer.
The story's at the bar.
But it's whatever. I mean, it's whatever makes you happy. I think I'm somewhere in between both of you guys. Like, I'm going to spend time going to the local watering hole with Joe. And, you know, that's part of traveling for me is I want to drink some local beer.
Absolutely.
I want to eat some local food. I want to meet some local people. I want to come back with... You know, Joe came back with a bunch of cool cheese from Wisconsin last year.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm probably not going to do that as much as Joe, and I'm not going to beat through the briars as much as you do. I'm somewhere in between.
I'm all about going to the bar or the restaurant or something Once the sun goes down.
I wish everyone could see Joe's
once the
face.
Once the sun goes down.
He came in so curmudgeon-y. I got to wake up and we got to go wake up and go hunt. I need to get out of here.
I ain't going to a bar. Why would I want to pay for that food? I can make a pizza right here.
There's a difference.
We got food at the house.
There's a difference between going to grab a bite to eat, maybe a few beers, and wanting to go to three or four different bars throughout the night, and you get to bed.
All I know is that the Northwoods Supper Club was happy to have me.
There's probably like five or six listeners that are like, "Yeah, Northwoods Supper Club. I know where that is.
Great place."
Yep.
Oh yeah. No. What are you hoping to get out of the trip besides just bird contact? So like, are you looking for a specific just quality to groom and Mitch with these birds? Like, are you going to go out there and be as steadfast as I was about if he doesn't point, I'm not shooting it? Or are you shooting a bird if it gets up in front of him?
No, I mean, I'm going to go into it initially with, you know, I'm not going to shoot the first bird opportunity I have. Because I want my dog to be pointing the grouse and not just like I could quickly turn him into a grouse flusher. Right. So I want him to be pointing the grouse. I don't know how long that patience will kick in. Like
I was about to say, what if it's three days in?
Day three or four, if he's just like being a jerk about it, I'm going to be like, dude, I drove to Minnesota. I'm shooting a grouse, So that's the intention, is that if he bumps the first bird, I don't shoot it, and, you know, he'll be more cautious around the next one. Because if I do shoot it and he didn't handle it correctly, then he's getting the reward of the retrieve, and he's getting the affirmation from me that, like, yep, everything's good, man. You did your job well enough that I could shoot this bird. So I'm going to really convince myself to hold off. But I'm also going to be in a spot where I'm going to finish the test on Saturday, and then Sunday we're going to drive to Minnesota. So last year I was going into the hunting season, was like, should I be working on steadiness or should I worry about hunting? This year I'm like, I'm done with the utility test, so I am really just worried about hunting.
And that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's exactly where I was headed. You're testing on Saturday, and then Sunday we're helping out to put on the second day of the test, but we're getting out of there as soon as we can to hit the road. Obviously the UT test requires your dog to be steady through the fall. Are you going to reinforce that in the grouse woods? Have you even thought about that?
Oh, I've thought about it. No, as long as the dog points it. I mean, I think I have a feeling he's going to be steady through the shot. And then I bet he'll just break on the shot. There's nothing that's happened in training that's made me think that. Like, he is like rock steady on pin raised birds. Mm-hmm. I mean, steady until I go release him. But I just have a feeling that he's going to sense, like, I don't have to stand here until I'm tapped on the head and told to fetch, and he'll probably just go.
Yep.
And I'm totally fine with that.
So, Joe, last year, when we got up to Wisconsin, it was funny. It was like the second day in, Joe came up. He's like, man, Jack slaughters these quail down in Texas, but these grouse and woodcock, he doesn't know what the heck to do with these birds. Yeah. He is confused and he's pissed off at me. Every time he thinks he smells a bird, he's looking at me like, I swear it was right here.
Yeah.
So, Joe, what are you expecting out of Jack?
I feel like he did better as the week went on last year, because you're exactly right. He's never had a trouble finding birds. And last year was the first time where I got like looks from him. And he's like, I don't get it. So I'm not really sure. I know he's going to find some birds. I know we're going to walk into some birds. But I mean, I'm, again, the opposite of you guys, is if that bird comes up, I'm shooting it.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of have to. I mean, if you have any hopes of retrieving it, and neither one of our dogs are around, because you'll shoot the bird, and Jack, he might go point dead, but chances are he's just going to run off and keep on hunting.
Yeah,
and that's...
He'll usually point dead, but as soon as he like sniffs it once, he's like, oh, okay, I'm out. Where's the next bird?
Yeah.
He's like, that thing's not moving. I'm done.
Yeah. So what you were saying about like, I don't care if I have a shot on the grouse I'm shooting. That is how most people grouse hunt. Like, the guys that want you to believe that their dog pointed every single bird that they've got in their bag, I don't believe them. Like,
they won't have any birds.
Yeah, like
the grouse population would be flourishing if that was the case.
Exactly. So, I really believe that everyone slips up after a while and is like, you know what? I don't care that my dog didn't point this thing or not. Maybe the dog didn't even find it. The dog's way ahead of you and it missed the bird and you kick it up and you end up shooting it. Fine, or the dog got too close and bumped it before it pointed and you shoot it. But that's not the story you ever hear at the tailgate. It's always like, oh yeah, dog slammed the point on this one. I walked in and flushed it. No one wants to tell you that their dog made a mistake. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I'd say the one time I'd have a little bit of hesitation, he steadied a shot. Now, if he's moving where he's like steady to flush, that's where I'll, kind of pull back a little bit just because he hunts with guys who've never hunted before. And I just like the steady to shot better than steady to flush.
Yeah, and that, it changes the game quite a bit, too, when it's a wild bird. Because with pen-raised birds, sometimes with pen-raised birds, you get a bird that gets up and starts moving around, but it's not as frantic. Like, when a wild bird decides to run instead of fly,
right,
it's usually pretty frantic and pretty enticing for the dog. So, at that point, even if they're steady, like... My dog will break sometimes on running birds, even pen-raised birds. Nick saw that the other day. That kind of lends to the lack of enforcing steadiness. Like if the dog is already kind of creeping on a walking bird, which I want it to do in a hunting situation to maintain contact with it, then when the bird flies, the dog's already kind of in break mode unless it decides to do a stop to flush type thing. What do you think, Nick?
On the steadiness, I was talking to somebody the other day about it, and what he said is, he does the testing to a high level, and he also hunts wild birds all the time too. And the way he put it is the dog does not have to point the bird for me to walk all the way out in front of it and flush the bird. I think a lot of people get this picture in their head, especially from these pen-raised birds, that you're going to be 10 yards out in front of your dog every time kicking up the bird. And that just doesn't happen with wild birds. And so the way he described it is they have to point long enough for me to be involved in the equation. And so... I think a lot of people just have it in their head that the dog is going to find a bird, point it, and you go 10 yards past them and flush a bird. It doesn't work like that all the time. And if you expect that to happen, you go by the rule that I'm only shooting the birds that happens, you're going to go hungry.
Yeah, and my friend Barbara that I've been training with, she trains flushers and everything, and we've been helping each other out, which has been a really cool experience. But she was kind of making fun of me the other day because my dog went on point and I'm looking around for this pen-raised bird for minutes, and I'm kicking the grass and I'm looking for this thing. And she's standing off to the side waiting impatiently to shoot this bird that I put up. And she's like, see, this is why I don't like pointers. And I was like, well, this is
a planted situation.
This is a planted bird situation, like a wild bird. I'm not going to say never, because I've had woodcock do that where you kick around, and you're like, dude, what are you pointing at? And then boom, it flies up. Mm-hmm. I've seen pheasants do that where they just really hold for a long time. They usually run, but I've seen them hold for a long time too. But for the most part, wild birds, when you're close enough to make a flush attempt, like the bird's going to fly or run. So
my experience, like, even with Rachel last year, my experience, like when I'm getting anywhere close, like the majority of the birds that Rachel pointed last year, they were flushing by the time I got up around even with her or coming around the side or something. It's like you get in within a few yards, they're flushing. And if they're not flushing, they're running. But like you said, there are outliers. Sometimes they will hold, and it's just, you know, I've seen there was a woodcock here in Tennessee 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Man, Rachel pointed it, and I'm over there nudging it like it's a horrible just pen raised bird that won't fly, and it wasn't seasoned, so I couldn't do anything.
Was it springtime? Was it the springtime?
It was their flight back north.
Yeah,
so they're coming back through.
Yep.
And it was really fat, and it would not get up. And so I'm literally nudging it, and finally it flew off. But I had to nudge it 3 or 4 times, and it was just sitting on the ground.
It was probably very close to a nest. That's why I asked if it was springtime. They do not want to leave their nest, and you can actually, if they're on their nest, you can reach down and like touch them with your hand, and they won't fly. I've never been able to do it, but I've heard of people doing it, and of course I've seen it on YouTube as well. But I had a woodcock that Gus found in a nest one time in the spring, and I was like cutting trees out of the trail with my chainsaw, and just had the dog running around with me. And I looked back, and he's chasing this woodcock across the trail behind me. And the woodcock had its wing
doing the injured wing thing.
And I'm like, oh no, he's going to catch this bird, you know? And then right when he got, inches from it, it took off like totally flight capable. Gus went back, locked up on point again. I'm like, oh, okay, sure, buddy. Like, yeah, you're really pointing something here. So I'm like, I'll play your game. I'll walk over and flush something. Little baby woodcock got up and flew off. I mean, because they can fly when they're like, I think 2 weeks old.
Wow.
That one flew off. He came back, pointed again. I'm like, okay, sure. Sure enough, another one. He chased it, came back, pointed again. I was like, good Lord. There was a total of, you know, the mom plus 4 babies. They usually have 4 in a nest. But
Adam's a biologist tonight.
Oh, wow.
I'm one of those, like, I don't know whether to argue with that or just be like, yeah, okay.
Well, dude, if it's wrong, someone will tell us it's wrong. Trust me, they're going to email, you know, gundogyourself@gmail.com, be like, Adam's an idiot.
We're Google fact-checking right now while we record.
So. Welcome to Woodcock Talk with Adam Williams.
So, all true stuff, man. See, people say we don't care about birds because we kill them. We actually study them more than most people.
I'm going to laugh when somebody's like, and Adam was wrong about that and that and that.
Well, then everything I've read is wrong.
I can think of some t-shirt ideas for Adam for his birthday now.
Oh, yeah. Good. I love t-shirts.
Just like, I love woodcock.
Thanks, Joe.
Oh, on another note, so besides Minnesota,
on a second.
Yeah.
You got to ask us about what are our expectations with our dogs. What are you expecting with your dogs this year?
Well, I'm really wanting to fine tune Lucy's pointing issues. You know, she got a very high score. I think it was like
a 197 or something like that.
I can't remember what it was. Like, it was one of the highest prize 2 scores, if not the highest prize 2 score you can get on UT. And all that was missing was the pointing. And so we got through the hunting season. And then all this year on training, I just took away all pressure. I didn't have any expectations for steadiness. I mean, you saw her go from just a rock solid, steady dog to now it's, if the bird's flushing it, she's going. And so I did that with the intention of bringing out that intensity, that drive. Mm-hmm. I wanted her more enthusiastic. And you've seen the change throughout the year. It's getting better. It's still not where I want it. And every now and then she'll hit that point to where I'm like, that's what I'm after.
Right.
But it's very inconsistent. And so,
and it's the front of the dog that is the intense part that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Where like, yes, that's it. You know, cause her tail kind of moves a little bit. Like she's not going to look like Jack, you know, at point, but I can see a difference where she started to get more intense on point.
She actually slammed a few but that's what I was after. And so I'm really hoping with enough wild bird contacts, it really kind of puts a bookend on bringing that intensity level out of her and that enthusiasm. And I think I have a completely different dog as far as just attitude in the field than what I did at the early spring when we started training real hard again this year. But that's my goal, is to see if that translates and the wild birds helps that out, especially in Minnesota, especially on these other trips that we have planned. And then next spring or summer, the plan, you know, it, tell God your plans and he'll laugh, all that good stuff.
That's right.
But start seeing if that point can get more consistent, and then maybe put that steadiness back on her and maybe run UT again next year. But
I like it.
But we'll see. I'm not committing to anything. I don't have expectations. I just have hopes at this point. But I feel like she's in a great spot going into the season to where enough wild bird contacts will do that to her, and we're sure as heck not getting that staying here in Tennessee. And so that I'm really looking to hit up Minnesota. We have a couple other trips planned, and it's just pretty much where can I get her on wild bird contacts? Because I think a few months of that and not the training field, not pen raised birds, not launchers, not any of that stuff, just go out there and have fun and do what she was bred to do. I think by the end of the hunting season, hopefully that translates.
Yeah, and you kind of said it right there. Go out there and have fun. Let her do what she was bred to do. Aside from, you know, letting the birds teach her specifically what's your method to getting her intense. Like, what are your rules going to be on when you shoot a bird this year with her?
I'm going to continue what I did with her last year, and that's she's going to point. And if she doesn't hold the point for me, like I was just saying, to get involved in the equation,
yeah,
I don't have to walk 20 yards in front of her, but she will at this point. You know, it's I'm not going up there this year like, is she going to point a wild bird? It's just, how intense is she going to point it? But her issue, like we've talked about a million times, her issue isn't the point on wild birds. It's always been pen raised birds. And so that's why it's like, if I can just get enough wild bird contacts to where she treats pen raised birds like she does the wild birds,
yeah,
then maybe I'll be in business next year. And then it's just putting that little steadiness steering wheel back on her with the least amount of pressure as possible, so I don't undo everything I just did this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'll have to go slow and easy with the pressure so that you don't so that you don't wipe out all that intensity.
Yep.
That'll be fun, man.
Yeah. So I'm excited. Again, no expectations, just hopes and dreams, and you know, seeing if she can live up to what we think that she can, living up to that potential.
Yeah, man.
But so yeah, besides Minnesota, what else do we have planned this hunting season?
Definitely going to have some trips to East Tennessee. Mm-hmm. To get after the grouse, maybe even North Carolina a little bit too. I'll definitely go hunt West Virginia at least once or twice. Virginia too. I mean, we could all hit, you know, yeah. Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina. It's all right there together. So I enjoy those. I enjoy those little camping grouse trips. Mm-hmm. Like to go back to pheasant country again this year too. What do you think, Joe? Down to chase some pheasants?
I think my life is over.
I was about to
come
say,
on. We can get you a hall
middle
pass.
Middle of November, end of November.
You got to get your in-laws to come visit.
I might need one.
Early December.
Yeah.
We'll get you a hall pass.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting because this is the first season in like five, I mean, since I got into it, that I probably won't be doing much. Yeah. I mean, maybe a couple of things.
Man, so I was just talking to Jackie about this the other day. Like when the kids were younger, I was really busy at work. Like I was working crazy hours. So I would come home to sleep. And then on the week, I worked a lot of weekends too, a lot of overnights, all that stuff. But then still yet, if I had a Saturday morning off, I'd be like, yep, going duck hunting. I don't want to say she was totally cool with it, but she never really gave me too much crap about it back then. And still doesn't give me crap about it now, but if I had it to do over, I would have kind of balanced that out a little bit. You know, I'm not saying I neglected my kids or anything, but I think it's important to still get that time that you need and go do some of the things that you enjoy, but not do overkill. And I know you're not going to do overkill like I did, where I'm like every opportunity I had, I'm going hunting, you know, selfishly. This is something I want to go do. But it's, I don't know, man. Don't go to the other end of the spectrum where you're like, I can't hunt at all this year. Like, you got to take some time for yourself,
too. I think I can also do the thing where, you know, we did an East Tennessee hunt where I brought, like, all the dogs, even the non-hunting dogs.
Yeah.
And so I could probably play that off to where I'm like, hey, I'm going out, but I'm taking all the dogs. So you
people see the truck with, like, three gunner kennels, and they're like, man, that guy's got a big string of dogs. And out comes a pug and a miniature Australian shepherd.
Like, that pug point birds?
He'll bark at him.
He'll bark at him, yeah. That's
well, we're hoping at least, even if it's not on the regular East Tennessee trip or whatever, but at least getting you down to the Alabama trip for around New Year's. You know, we've talked about that. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. And then I don't know about you guys, but I'd like to see if we can make our way back up to Iowa this year.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun last year, especially in one weekend. You know, we're a little tired come Monday with the drive. But
I still got my license for Iowa. You guys don't.
Oh, did you get a year-long one?
Yeah, I got the year-long one. I'm definitely coming back, and then I could still probably make it happen if it's a couple
days. How much
days.
More expensive was it?
Not that much more expensive.
Oh, man, so we wasted money.
I mean, maybe if you guys end up going back.
Yeah. What do you mean, you guys? You're coming with us.
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
Charles, bust out the whiskey and I might be coming.
I don't think Charles busting out the whiskey is too big of a problem.
No, man. He's got like 50 bottles in his living room. It's great.
And this is going to be like Nick's last hunting season.
I have a feeling Nick is going to be like I was when my kids were young and spend a lot of time hunting anyways, and then looking back later be like, man, I should have hunted less.
Man, we kind of timed it a little bit better though. You know, the Joe, his Thanksgiving, you know, that's just going to keep on giving every year now.
And yeah, it was poor timing. But when the baby gets older, then you take them on birthday hunting trips.
Yeah, well, both of you guys have babies on the way, so I'm going to say that both of you have bad timing. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know how to take that one. You know, it's funny, like, me and you, we're planners, and we're bird dog guys, so we just talk about this stuff nonstop, and I keep catching myself to where I'm like, well, next year. Next spring, we'll do this. Yep. Next spring. And then it's like, I honestly don't know what I'm going to be able to do and not do with the kid on the way. So it'll be really interesting next year. And so it's, yeah, like Joe was kind of alluding to, let's get these trips in while we can.
Yeah. Luckily you have a piece of property now that you just need to go out your back door, hopefully.
Yeah, but you know, there's a little bit of wanderlust in me though. You know, I got to go see new ground. I got to chase new birds. And yeah, I mean, I'm wondering what it's going to do for next fall's trip. I don't know. You guys probably hadn't even thought about next fall's trip yet, have you?
No, man.
Not at all.
I'm sitting here like every year. I'm like, I want to go chase that and that and that. Let's start spacing this out.
What's on your list for next fall then?
Man, I'm really leaning towards like maybe trying to bag a sage grouse and a prairie chicken somewhere. And so,
dude, I don't even know what state or country I'm going to be living in next fall.
I got it right here in my notes.
Oh, where I'm going to be living?
Oh, where you're living?
Yeah.
I wish. Yeah.
I don't
know.
Hey, I don't need to know where you live for me to go shoot a sage grouse or prairie chicken. But no, I mean, it's just, I've been thinking about, I don't know if next year it'll happen, but I would love to do like a multiple state hunt for a week and a half.
Yo, Nick has a map.
Yep.
And a spreadsheet over here.
It sounds to me like Nick's getting a new job, because all I'm hearing is that he's having a kid next year and he wants to do a multiple state hunting trip.
Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota.
I'm weighing Nebraska, out
Kansas,
the seasons.
Colorado, Wyoming.
Yeah. I'm weighing out the seasons on when it happens and what they have, so that I can be like, all right, let's hit up that state for a few days and then go to this state and then just hit multiple states camping out
you
with the dogs.
You got inspired from Adam's trip.
No, this was actually in the works before talking to Adam. Well,
talking to Adam didn't
help
me. This at all.
No.
It did help it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks nice, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. I mean, I'm not going to hit all those states, but I'm just trying to piece together. Like, all right, I would love to get a sage grouse and a prairie chicken and then everything in
between. I mean, I've got family in Big Fork, Montana.
Well,
okay.
Let's go make it happen. Let's go get those sage grouse.
This is a lot of time off, Nick.
No, man, I'm not hitting every state. I'm just going to hit a couple of them. I'm just weighing it out. You know, I have over a year to plan this out.
How much paternity leave do you get?
Zero. You get that.
So let's focus on this year right now. Nick's like all the way into next year, and we haven't even started our trip to Minnesota.
I'm years out.
This
you don't
year,
even yeah, all know I, 2 years from
I
now.
Believe you. But this year, we're going to do the test weekend and then Sunday. That Sunday, we'll be driving up to Minnesota. So there's four of us going. Mm-hmm. Joe, are you taking your truck to Minnesota? We haven't even talked about who's taking what and doing what. Are you driving your truck? You're riding with me.
I got no clue.
All right, cool. You're riding with me, man.
All right, cool.
Problem solved. Nick, who's splitting gas with you, man?
Nobody. So I'll be driving.
What's Adam doing?
So Adam, we'll start calling him Hampton.
Hampton. Oh, right.
Yeah. We got too many Adams here.
Yeah.
So old Hambone, he's talking about either joining us here and following us up, or he might meet us at the halfway point that we're trying to get to on Sunday, which we have to decide is 8.5 hours too long to drive after a full day of helping out with the test.
I think it depends on what time we leave. Here's what I always think on a long trip. If we drive till midnight, then I probably don't want to get up at 5 and start driving again.
No.
So I'm kind of like, it depends on what time we leave. And I want to stop driving at 10 and get like 8 hours of sleep before I hit the road for another 8 or 10 hours the next day. What do you guys think?
I would say, I mean, we're helping out with Sunday, but you know, Would we like to see the scores read and everything? Absolutely. But at the same time, we're already kind of giving up 2 days of hunting.
Maybe we can FaceTime somebody and get those scores, see the scores.
Yeah, read. There we go. But yeah, so I say, you know, we try and get out of there at a decent time, but then we hit that halfway point, and even if it's at midnight, we just don't leave at 5 in the morning. We take our time, eat breakfast, and then hit the road, and we get up there, you know, early evening and on the following day, and then get to it.
Yeah, we could get halfway either way. I mean, unless we leave Norm's place at like 6 on Sunday or something.
Yeah, that'd be
then
a little
I'm
rough.
Not driving 8 hours, but because I'll just fall asleep at the wheel.
I'll see it when I believe it that you guys are going to be leaving that test early.
Yeah, you think so?
That's just not in your guys' nature. So,
Joe, are you coming down for the test, or are we swinging through Nashville and picking you up?
Yet to be seen, my friend.
That means
I'm living life one day at a time right now.
We're coming through Nashville to get you, and that's fine. I hope you come to the test, but I think.
Are you on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm running Saturday, and then we're volunteering Sunday.
Well, then I more likely would be down there Saturday just to see Mitch.
Nice. And me. Not just Mitch, right?
Yeah. Well, Jack probably wants to come root Mitch on. His boy Mitch.
They're like big buddies.
Yeah.
And we hunt together all week, because more than likely old Lucy and Rachel will probably be in heat that week.
Well,
that's how it is, yeah.
I won't be hunting with you.
Yep.
So, man, if you could get Adam to meet up with us here and you guys just took one truck, that'd be awesome to have two guys.
There's no
in
way.
Each truck.
There's no way. You have to travel with old Hambone. He takes way too much junk.
Really?
Oh, man.
He was loaded up last year.
He's loaded up. He's talking about hauling his duck boat all the way from here.
Well, good.
Here
he can put all his stuff
there.
In his duck boat.
Yeah. But then we get there, and I want to go grouse hunting, and he wants to go duck hunting. Who's getting the truck?
Yeah. Drop him at his duck blind and then
walk back.
Yeah.
You know, the decoy bag has straps on it. You can.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we're taking three trucks.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, Joe, if you're not taking your truck, if you're taking your truck, I guess we're taking four trucks, but that's kind of crazy.
Nah, there's no need to take four trucks. Especially, I mean, Joe will
Joe's
literally.
Like, I'm literally down for whatever.
Joe's going to have a bag, a shotgun, a box of ammo, and his dog.
and that's really all he needs. So he's just going to climb up in the truck with you. He doesn't need to take his own truck.
Joe actually just thought through that for a minute and was like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that
sounds about right. I want to know how many people actually tuned out on this already because we're talking about trip logistics here.
Yeah, probably so. What else, man? We'll finish up the test that weekend and get up there. Sounds like we're taking three trucks.
Yep.
Pedal to the floor and get there.
Get there and start hunting, man.
Yeah. I'll just be glad to have the test behind me at that point. I'm nervous.
How are you, I was about to say, how are you really feeling right now? Because this is your first utility test to run.
Yeah, so I'm nervous, man. Even when I go out and run Mitch, I'm trying to tell myself, like, all right, needs to simulate the test. But then everything Mark Whalen told us a couple weeks ago is go out there and hunt your dog just like you would any other time.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to not use any commands. I'm trying not to use the e-collar. And I think it's going to be fine, but I'm just nervous, you know?
Play your game, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Just go do it. And then you guys will hear on here in a couple weeks that we either failed the test or we passed the test. And I mean, that's it, right?
Well, yeah. And I mean, there's nothing I can tell you right now that's like going to help or hurt your emotions. I mean, this is kind of like, you know, you're going to get to test day and it is what it is. Like it just.
Yeah. I'm going to hope to not just be like shaking when I start, you know. Were you nervous when you did your test?
I was honestly slightly more nervous with Lucy, I would say, the second time I ran. The first time with Rachel, I honestly went out there with the attitude, it is what it is. Like, it just, I didn't plan on doing this from the get-go. It just happened to where I was training with all the other guys. It was there. It's like, let's do this. And, I mean, there were some nerves, but it was just kind of like I didn't have the anticipation or high hopes for a prize one. Lucy, I knew what the potential was, and I'd seen everything. So I was hoping and anticipating that prize one, and, you know, she gave me that quality of work on everything except the pointing for the millionth time. And, you know, it was just – but you know your weaknesses. You know where their inconsistencies are. So, but prior to that, that's when you're going to be the most nervous. Is it's like, okay, what dog's showing up? Is what he should be and what I know he is going to show up? Or is he going to have one of those brain fart days that happens every so often? And then, but either way, man, it's like, it is what it is. It's like what Norm always says. No matter what, the dog's going to have fun.
Yeah, the dog doesn't know any better, right? The dog's just like, whatever, another day out here chasing birds around.
Yep.
There's little things, and I'm probably overthinking it, but how many times have we been training where the dog goes on point, and you look around for the bird, and, you know, you can't find it because it's a stupid pen-raised bird that's, you know, under all this grass. And when we're training, I'm like, all right, tell me where you guys planted the bird so I can flush this thing. You know, my dog's pointing, but I literally can't find it because it's burrowed in the grass. Well, on a test day, I'm going to kick around, and then be like, well, I guess my dog's just not pointing. What do y'all want me to do? You know? Well, so there's little things like that I'm like, you know, how's it going to play out?
Mitch is going to do great, man.
Yeah.
I believe in Mitch.
He's got it. It's just like Nick said, it's a matter of what happens on the test day, you know?
Yep. And man, I've seen it to where the most prepared dogs and handlers go out there and just something completely unforeseen happens. Yeah. And then I've also seen the dogs to where I swear up and down, I'm like, there's no way this dog is passing. Like not just like a high prize, but just a prize three. And I've seen them just show up. And a completely different dog. It's like they know that today's different and they act right. And it's just, you don't know, man. And that's why it's like, it doesn't do any good. You don't know what the weather's going to be like. Mm-hmm. You don't know if it's going to be raining, sunshine, hot, just right, wind, especially at Norm's. I mean, that wind swirls or doesn't blow at all. Like, it doesn't do any good to wrap your head around it. It's just, you know, you've done the work. Go out there and try and enjoy the process for what it is, because at the end of the day,
you're going to get the scores, and the scores are going to reflect whatever dog showed up that day.
Yeah. And you know, it goes back to like what I was saying earlier, when we put too much stock in like evaluating success by how many birds you have on the tailgate.
Yep.
It's the same here. Like, you know, you said it with both your dogs, like, and I've seen them do prize one work on everything. Right. So I know what my dog's capable of.
Yep.
And whatever he goes out there and scores, it is what it is.
Either way,
if I can go into the test with that mentality, cause it's the truth. I think I'll be fine. But if I get up there and I'm just way nervous, I think the dog senses that.
We just got to put an extra shot in that Bloody Mary while you're getting briefed from the judges on how the day's going to go. Just start off with the hair of the dog and just, you know, relax a little bit.
So what do you think they do if they're like, all right, come on up here, you know, let me brief you. And I just reach into my like water pouch
flask
and pull out like a Miller Lite and just pound it right there.
Oh, y'all aren't cool with this? Sorry, I thought Ron Bain was judging here.
Yeah, Ron would be like, you got one for me?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, I think we could stop boring these people. They're like, what the heck happened on this week's episode? But
it's fun, man. I mean, if they don't like it, they'll turn it off.
There you go. We had fun with it. But yeah, we promise next week we're going to be back on target with these guests. And
Don't promise. Jeez.
Yeah, we're going to do our best, people, to give y'all worthwhile conversation with a point and a topic. But yeah, life happens.
Who wants a t-shirt that says GDIY podcast?
Oh, I thought you were going back to Adam's.
No.
Like, man, you're really harping on that t-shirt. Who wants a t-shirt?
He really says, yeah, that's a good idea. Great point, Joe. We've had a couple people reach out. They're like, we want a t-shirt. And we've looked into doing shirts, and it's tough to do shirts because
so many sizes.
Yeah, all the sizes. And then, you know, we've got like,
hats are easier.
Well, I like the quality conversation.
Hats are more expensive too.
With a point.
Ah. Ooh, that could be a
and
cool
maybe
t-shirt.
Instead of a point, it's like a, you know, jack on point or something like that. Or having an actual pointer on there.
Yeah. Quality conversation.
I'm the idea man. You know, that's what I'm here for.
Nick's usually good for the play on words, but I like that.
I mean, no, he was the one who did it. And he even went like this. With a point. You guys can't see, but he was pointing when he said with a point.
Yep. Well, let's get some feedback. Nick, there's got to be a way to get feedback on if people want a shirt like that, right?
Yeah.
Just send us an email.
I was about to say, it's called an email. Shoot it to us. Say you love the idea, you want a shirt. We've gotten it from everybody, but we've been debating on shirts or hats.
All right. Send us a one-liner email that just says, I'd rather have a hat or I'd rather have a shirt.
Yep. We're going to try and come out with something.
There. Let's do it.
There we go.
Yep. All right, guys. We'll be back next week with a little bit more intelligible conversation.
With a point.
Thank you for listening to GDIY. If you enjoy this podcast, please remember to take a moment to rate, review, and share with a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Gundog It Yourself. If you really enjoy this podcast and would like to contribute even more to future content, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/gundogityourself. Thanks again and happy hunting.
Everyone seems to have the same questions or concerns when they start trying to decide which kennel to purchase for their vehicle. Perhaps it's time to stop asking all the questions and just design the perfect setup that meets your exact needs. B-Pro Kennel specializes in designing and fabricating custom premier dog boxes handcrafted right here in the USA from high-grade, lightweight aluminum. They'll get you set up with the size dimensions, lighting, storage, battery boxes with solar charging, and anything else you can dream of. Stop stressing over buying the wrong setup just after replace it again in a year. Go ahead and check out bprokennels.com and get exactly what you want.
If you're considering changing your dog's food soon, then be sure to check out Eukanuba Pro Performance. Their science-backed formulas are designed to take your dog to the next level of performance. They also now have the new puppy formula to help your pup start strong and live active. When looking at all the different food options, remember Eukanuba to help power their ultimate performance.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Bob from Lone Ducks Gun Dog Chronicles podcast. I hope you just enjoyed the episode you just listened to. And if you did, I think you'll enjoy hopping on ours. We've got professional retriever trainers and upland bird dog trainers from across the country and world sharing their tips and tricks and great stories to help you and your dog get ready for the season. We'll see you there.